Opening God's holy word with reverence and joy. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
God. How do you know that on that day when you stand before the holy God of heaven and earth, that you will ever be able to withstand the scrutiny of his justice? This is the question we are tackling today here on Abounding Grace as we deal with the doctrine of justification, continuing our study in the order of salvation, the ordo salutis as it's called in Latin, the orderly way in which God brings a sinner to salvation and sees that work to completion from beginning to end. Well, we're thankful you've taken time out of your day to tune into Abounding Grace. We invite you to go to the website at agradio.org to explore that website and learn more about who we are and what we believe. Again, that web address is agradio.org. Well, we're here with Pastor Mike Brown, and last time, Mike, we dealt with the conversion of somebody's life, what conversion looks like, and we do encourage you to go back and listen to these past broadcasts. We've looked at calling, the Lord calling people out of darkness, bringing them into the light, an effectual call through the preaching of the gospel where deep conviction is laid in the heart. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit who then gives life to a dead heart. We call that regeneration, where somebody is born again. That's not a human work. That is a work of the Holy Spirit. You have to be born from above. That is why we say, unless that work of the Spirit happens, somebody remains dead in their trespasses and sins, unable to respond to the things of God. We're thankful that the Lord has given us a ministry of reconciliation, and we have confidence that as we give ourselves to the preaching of the gospel, the Spirit works. Last time, Mike, maybe you could summarize a little bit what we talked about with regard to the conversion of somebody's life. That's really important in this whole discussion on the order of salvation.
Right. Well, again, we're talking about the Holy Spirit applying redemption to the individual. Christ has accomplished redemption through his life, death, and resurrection and history, and then the Holy Spirit applies that by calling us and regenerating us and then converting us, which essentially is turning to Christ. We turn away from sin and to Christ in this experience of conversion and placing our faith in him. But that's the work of the Holy Spirit. We cannot make ourselves be born again any more than we could have made ourselves born physically the first time. And so converting, the Holy Spirit's work of converting us, bringing us from darkness to light, transferring us from being in Adam to being in Christ within the heart and placing our faith in Christ, now we are justified. And that's what we want to talk about today.
Right. Justification by faith alone. So when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we turn. What happens? What does the Lord declare? What is this legal declaration that is made? That's what we're dealing with when we come to the act, the one-time act of justification. And this is so important, Mike. I mean, you know, many scholars and many have recognized this is the article upon which the church either stands or falls. In other words, if we get this wrong, if we screw this up, since this is so important to understanding how a sinner is right before a holy God, we really will never comprehend or grasp the Christian gospel.
That's right.
And so maybe we should just start as we look at this. What is the doctrine of justification by faith alone? And how important is that for the Christian to understand?
Well, the doctrine of justification by faith alone is how we are made right with God. That's the question being answered. How does a sinner become acceptable in the sight of a God who demands a righteousness that is as good as his own? We cannot produce that righteousness. And if we turn to Paul's letter to the Romans, we see in chapters 1 through 3, he's showing us how none are righteous, no, not one. That it's not the hearers of the law who are righteous, but the doers of the law, which means that nobody is righteous because nobody has done the law. In fact, Paul sums up that whole section in chapters 1 through 3 in verse 20 by saying, For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight. So we need God's declaration, his announcement that we are righteous in his sight, and that, but we can't have that unless we are righteous. So that's the dilemma. What God does in his grace is provide us with the righteousness that Jesus Christ himself earned through his life of obedience. The Westminster Shorter Catechism puts it this way in question 33, when it asks, what is justification? It answers, justification is an act of God's free grace, wherein he pardons all our sins and accepts us as righteous in his sight, only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. Imputed meaning credited to us, transferred to us. Now God regards us as being righteous in his sight for the sake of Christ's righteousness, even though inwardly I'm still a sinner. And so Luther said, he pointed out how we are all simul justus et peccator. We are simultaneously justified and sinful. Justified, righteous, because of the righteousness of Christ imputed to us, and yet inwardly we are still undergoing this process of sanctification, being made righteous.
You know, and this is the heart of the Christian message. This is the Christian gospel, that when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, this act, this declaration of justification is made. It's a once for all act, and you are freely acquitted of all of your sins, never again to know the judgment of God. That's what's at the heart of Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That can only be declared and said if you have the perfect righteousness of somebody else that has covered you. And that's what we're saying in the doctrine of justification. Now, this is important because I'm not sure Christians grasp this today, Mike. I think if you ask the average Christian, you know, what, how are you right before God? You know, I pray we're not getting answers.
I follow
like
Jesus.
Yeah, I did this, and you know, I'm leading a pretty moral life. But I do think there's the general basic answer is that, well, you know, I've made the decision to come to Jesus, and right. I've experienced some sorrow, and hey, you know, I've tried my best to come, right. And therefore God accepts me.
Right.
That would be a terrible answer to the question about how somebody is right before God, because it misses. It just gives the assumption that God just kind of overlooks sin.
Right.
When we're talking about justification, we're dealing with the issue of how God has covered your sin, how God has dealt with your sin. He didn't just wink his eye at it and say, it's okay, it's okay. He did something. And right. What did he do? He gave of his son, and therefore there's a righteousness that is completely outside of you that God provided for right. you from his own resources, if you will. And when we embrace and trust Jesus, the conversion we've talked about, then what does God do? At that moment, he imputes to you, he reckons to somebody's account the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ as if they had never sinned or been a sinner, as if also they had been perfectly obedient as Christ was obedient for us.
Right.
That is so important.
Yeah, well, that's very important because, as you pointed out, it's not a person's act or decision that God regards as righteous.
Or even sorrow.
Yeah, it's not that God says, well, now you've walked the aisle or you prayed a prayer, so I regard you as righteous. No. The only righteousness that is satisfactory to God the Father is the righteousness of the Son, the second Adam. The first Adam failed to obtain that kind of righteousness. Even though he was created in true righteousness, he failed to obtain that righteousness through his obedience. Christ comes and earns that righteousness through his perfect and active obedience, and then goes to the cross to pay the debt that we owed. So justification is not only the forgiveness of sins. That's only half of it. I know sometimes people have heard that saying, well, justification means just as if I never sinned. Well, that's only half true. Mm-hmm. The other half is it's just as if I'd always been perfectly obedient. Because just as if I never sinned means, okay, I didn't get an F on the test. But right. just as if I'd always been obedient means I earned an A. I got an A right. on the test.
Right.
It's not just a blank slate. And that's what Christ provides to us. Faith apprehends that. Faith receives that. Faith is simply the instrument through which we receive the righteousness of Christ imputed to us, credited to us by God.
Well, and I think, you know, just to think about this, how important this is for the Christian listening today. I mean, you and I both know, Mike, that years ago, the White Horse Inn had a conference, and they actually interviewed a bunch of people at a Christian book conference about the gospel and what justification is. And I think it was like one person or two and all that they interviewed who even understood this. Mm-hmm. And I think it was R.C. Sproul who listened to that, and as he was driving had to pull over and weep, because Christians don't grasp the basic idea of how they're right before God. Right. And so this is, I mean, this is one of the most important broadcasts we could do. Yeah. Because we're dealing with how sin is dealt with before this holy God and what God provides for somebody.
Right.
And you know, it's interesting in Romans, you know, Paul is working toward this. In the first section of Romans, he really hits hard on dealing with the problem of sin. And he makes some very strong statements there that no one does good, no, not one. All have sinned, all have turned aside. There's no one who seeks after God. I mean, he goes through the whole thing. And then as soon as he has leveled everyone, Jew and Greek, put everyone and shown how fallen they are, that no one can please God, he makes this announcement. He shows this beautiful declaration of what the gospel is, and he explains it for us in Romans 3. He says, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. Meaning, this has nothing to do with your law keeping. This has nothing to do with what you do. God is announcing something to you. His standard is provided apart from anything that you do. It was witnessed by the law and the prophets. They knew all about this. They spoke of this. They proclaimed this righteousness. What is this? It's the righteousness of God through faith. We receive it by believing and trusting in Christ to all and on all who believe. And then he says this, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely.
Right.
By his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom, what did God do? He gave his son, set forth his son to be the propitiation, the satisfaction, the appeasement of the divine wrath, right? Through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. This is what God's provided for us.
Yeah, we need to remember that when we're talking about justification, we're talking about God declaring a person righteous. That's really important mm-hmm. to understand. We're not talking about God making a person righteous. That's actually sanctification. What God does in justification is he declares you righteous on account of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which is received through faith alone. Big difference. And so the question is, how am I right with God? Well, as the Heidelberg Catechism answers, only by true faith in Jesus Christ. That is, although my conscience accuses me mm-hmm. that I've grievously sinned against all the commandments of God, I've never kept any of them, and I'm still prone always to all evil. Now think about that. Do you have a conscience that accuses you? Do you every day think, oh, I'm such a sinner. Oh, I'm still not there yet. Oh, I'm still failing. Why am I thinking these things? Why did I lose my temper that way? Why did I act that? Why did I say that about that person? You know, look how rotten I am. And it's because we are rotten. We have sin that still is down there polluting our heart. But even though our conscience accuses us of those things, God freely grants and imputes to us the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ, as you pointed out earlier, as if I have never had nor committed any sin and had myself accomplished all the obedience which Christ has fulfilled for me. God does that one time. It doesn't happen again and again. When the moment a person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ with true faith, it could be the weakest faith, but the moment that a person says, I am a sinner, God help me, I only look to Christ, God declares that person righteous forever. And it's not that that person is righteous inherently in themselves, but that God sees them as righteous as he looks at them through the righteousness of Christ that he earned through his life, death, and resurrection.
Well, and there's a reason that we have all over the place the imagery of robe. that he casts a robe on us, that he covers us and puts a robe on us. You see this in the parable of the prodigal son. You see it with Joseph's robe of many colors. Right. That was something that told us about the perfect righteousness of Christ. And this is what he covers us in. This is how he sees us, as you said, Mike. And that's not something, think of how pastoral this is. That's not something that can ever be taken from you.
Right.
In other words, when I believe, when I trust, and we've looked at the grace that God gives to bring somebody to that place, when God makes this declaration, it's over. Mm-hmm. It's done. You are declared righteous once for all. That salvation is secure. And think of how that now affects the believer. Think of how that now affects everything that he does, how he thinks, how he goes forward. Look at what God has done for him. And I think Paul was thinking this way in explaining this to help pastorally, and this is not just an academic exercise, to help pastorally Christians think through how important the doctrine of justification by faith is. Who does he use as examples? Well, in Romans 4, he takes Abraham and he takes David, and he says, God justifies the wicked. Mm-hmm. Now, if you look at the life of Abraham, there's some pretty bad stuff there, but no one can doubt that David made some really bad mistakes. David, not just mistakes, he sinned. He had a man killed. He took a man's wife and had a child.
Lied.
And they understood the doctrine of justification, because what does Paul put in the midst of this? Well, he puts in front of us a psalm that David wrote to describe this. Think about this. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. He's saying, you are a blessed person when God declares you righteous and justifies you by faith.
Right, because he took your sin and he imputed it to Christ upon the cross. There's actually a triple imputation. Adam's guilt and sin was first imputed to the human race. Then our sin was imputed to Christ. And in exchange, he who knew no sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21, became sin for us in order that we might become the righteousness of God. Christ's righteousness is now imputed to us. And listener, again, as Chris, as you said, this is not an academic exercise. This is the heart of the gospel. This is the heart of the good news. What we're saying here to our listeners is that if you believe on the Lord Jesus, God regards you as perfect, even though you're not. God regards you as being righteous in his sight, even though you're not, even though you're still a sinner that struggles with sin. God does not impute that sin to you anymore. This is the good news. One day, your sanctification will be complete when you die, and then you will be glorified on the last day, and your body even will be righteous. Throughout this life, we still struggle with sin, but God regards us as righteous in his sight. And this was really the crux of the Reformation. The Reformation, in many ways, in the 16th century, was all about this issue of justification by faith alone.
Right, and the apostle, when he uses to what we think are these great holy men of old, actually, he's showing us, and one of the favorite verses in the Bible is, but to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the wicked, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Again, that's right in the section with Abraham and David to illustrate and demonstrate for us that they were no better than us, or that we're no better than them, but that this is what God did for them. And then at the end of Romans 4, he says, this is not written for Abraham. This is written for you. So you're exactly right. This is so pastoral. He's saying, I know you struggle with sin. You are before a holy God in trouble, but this is how God has dealt with that. This is what God has provided for this immense problem of the human race. Under the wrath of God, he has then announced to us his perfect righteousness revealed in his son, and all who believe in him have that. And what is the consequence of that, Mike? How does that affect? Why is this so important to understand? Well, I think Romans 5 explains that.
Right. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You are at peace with God, even though we find ourselves again and again convicted over our sins and feeling awful and feeling we've let God down and we've been weak in our faith and we have failed in the Christian life. Yet the good news is that there is no more war. The war is over. Right. You have peace with God. You once were an enemy of God, but he, the one whom you offended, the holy God of eternity, he in his love and grace has reached down and through Christ in his righteousness has declared you righteous in his sight. So you are acceptable. It's, you think of the parable of the prodigal son. You know, the prodigal son coming back, he looks like a slave, he has no shoes on, he's dirty, he's grubby, and the father comes out, and the father puts a robe on him, puts a ring on his finger, brings him into the house. The father makes him acceptable in his sight. That's what God does for us. But the way he did it was through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus.
Right. And then we stand back when we understand this, and we are in such awe of the person and work of Christ. We're in awe that God would do this and make known this and make this glorious gospel known to us. Think about this in Romans 5. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And listen to this, much more than having been justified by his blood. So right by his blood, when he became the sacrificial offering for us, we shall be saved from wrath through him. I love that because what he's saying is wrath is over.
Mm-hmm.
There is no more wrath. You don't have to stand there and ever think again that you're going to have to give an account and pay for your own sin, mm-hmm. that you're going to have to suffer for your sin, that you're before God are going to have to make your own kind of atonement and own kind of payment and then face wrath. No, he's saying it's over. It's right. Done. You have peace. You're loved. Enjoy it.
Right. Yeah, and that's the fruit, the benefit of this justification. This is such an important doctrine for us to understand with regard to our own daily joy, because if you don't understand this doctrine of justification, you will subject yourself to an emotional and psychological roller coaster. You know, when I see my failures and I see my weakness of faith, I don't look at my sanctification and say, oh, Mike, you better try harder. I'll only set myself up for deeper failure. And eventually, if I do that, I'm either going to be a Pharisee thinking I'm pulling it off, thinking I'm righteous by my own acts, or I'm going to be led into despair and say, who can do this? I can't be the perfect Christian guy. What I do is I fall back on justification. I fall back on Jesus and what he has accomplished. And that's why it's so important for us to make sure we don't mix and mingle justification with sanctification. Justification is the one-time act by God where he declares a sinner righteous, pardons his sins, imputes Christ's righteousness to him. It happens one time. Sanctification begins at that moment of justification and is the lifelong process whereby the Holy Spirit is making us more righteous, primarily using his means of grace of word and sacrament. Justification, God declares us righteous. Sanctification, God is making us slowly, making us righteous.
Well, I really love your emphasis there on the emotional roller coaster, because I've seen this pastorally, Mike. We're both pastors. We've seen people on this roller coaster up and down, wondering if God really accepts them. And then this leads to all kinds of manipulation and pressure. I mean, how many times can people walk an aisle or say a prayer? I know people who've said the sinner's prayer so many times they didn't even mean it anymore.
Right.
And they never even really believed after some time of doing this that God was even hearing it. And so notice how scary that can be for somebody, especially if they have no concept of the sovereignty of God and perseverance. Notice what this doctrine's declaring to us. It's a once-for-all act.
Right.
It's once he declares it, when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've received, and God's gifts and calling are irrevocable. In other words, he doesn't take it back.
Right.
He doesn't give righteousness and impute it and then say, you know what? You're not behaving well enough. I want it back.
Right.
That's not how God works.
No, it's an announcement of victory. And it's, again, this is why the Reformation emphasized this so much. Up until the 16th century, throughout the Middle Ages, which runs roughly from about the 6th to the 16th century, there was so much confusion about justification. There was no official doctrine in the West about what justification was. People had different ideas. A lot of that came from the mistranslation in the Latin Vulgate of the word dikaiosune in Greek, justify, and the way it was translated, justificare, meant to make righteous. Mm-hmm. What that led to was a lot of theologians thinking and teaching that, well, justification means God is making you righteous. And so gradually, over time, you are being made, but you never quite arrive there, which is why you need to go to purgatory and burn off all of your sin for thousands and thousands of years. But looking at the Greek, The reformers, particularly Martin Luther and others, were able to see that now there is two uses here of that word dikaiosune. It can mean to make righteous in some places, but in other places it means to declare righteous, which as Paul says in Romans 3, when he quotes Psalm 51, and he says of God that you may be justified in your words and prevail when you are judged. He's talking about a declaration. That's the same use of that word dikaiosune that he uses in chapters 4 and 5 to declare. And in receiving that declaration, we have peace with God, and we are now his.
Right. And so how does that affect all of life? Well, that's been our pastoral concern. I mean, we can close with this verse. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live, which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What a beautiful doctrine justification by faith is. Well, thank you for taking the time out of your day to tune into Abounding Grace Radio today. As always, we're grateful you do that. We invite you and lead you to the website at agradio.org. Download these podcasts, explore the resources, find maps to the churches. We would love to hear from you, so do please write to us. There's a form there. Tell us how these broadcasts have been a blessing to you. If you have questions, we'd be glad to take them up on Abounding Grace Radio, especially on Fridays. So please send us a note and let us know how these programs are blessing you. Well, thanks for taking time to tune into Abounding Grace. May the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.